In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. What a joy it is to be with you here at St. Paul's Carey. This is my second time to this parish. The first was in about 1976. Your vicar at the time, Bill Coolidge, had been my assistant when I was rector of the Chapel of the Cross in Chapel Hill. And I came to Carey, to St. Paul's, for the funeral of his small daughter who had died of cystic fibrosis. So it was a sad visit in a very modest building. And look around you, what you've done in the last 40 years. Remarkable. Your rector, George, has a reputation for recruiting and supporting effective staff, and it is evident that his leadership here makes a difference. I'm grateful to Dr. Kathy Dietz because she, next month, will become a full-time member of the diocesan staff as the regional canon representing the bishops in the Triangle and in the northeastern part of the diocese. Today is Trinity Sunday, the only day in the church year that celebrates a doctrine rather than an event in the drama of God's reaching out to humankind. Over the centuries, preachers and teachers have tried different symbols to speak of the Trinity. St. Patrick used the three-leafed shamrock clover to teach the Irish. Greek Orthodox theologians have used a Greek word that means dancing around each other to describe the Trinity. It was the experience of Christians in the first centuries of the church's life that led to the creedal formularies of Trinitarian faith. As Christians listen to the Spirit-filled stories of Jesus and experience the power of faith in action, their conclusion was that God is not static, but an eternal expression of love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a dynamic divine dance that touches all humankind. In the reading from the book of Proverbs, wisdom, which is often synonymous with the Holy Spirit, is seen as the means through which God created all that is. In the letter to the Romans, Paul teaches us that God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And in John's Gospel, Jesus promises that the Spirit will lead us into all truth. The biblical themes are dynamic and not static. Whatever image we use to speak of the three in one and the one in three, the center of the story of the Trinity is relationship. The source of our being is a relationship. And if God is a relationship, then the universe created and sustained by God must also be built on relationships. The image of God in which we are made is our capacity for relationships. I'm no scientist, but from what I've read, so much of postmodern intellectual ferment emphasizes the nature of relationships rather than static states. I understand, for example, that quantum physics tells us that particles don't really exist at all unless they are in relationship with other particles. Ecology tells us that all sorts of creatures live together in ecosystems, in relationships. The rediscovery of the centrality of relationships should be no surprise to Trinitarian Christians who have believed for centuries that relationship is the image of God in us. Relationship is at the heart of the baptismal covenant we will renew in a few moments with those who are confirmed, received, and reaffirmed today. Those promises begin with a no and a yes, a renunciation of evil, and a yes, a commitment to Jesus Christ. Our verbal commitment is in the words of the Apostles' Creed, the Church's historic summary of what God has done for us in Christ. Then in the five questions and answers that follow the creed and the baptismal covenant, we commit ourselves to the consequences, the so what of that creed. First, we promise to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. And that's one of the hardest promises to keep. We Americans are used to abandoning our commitments when they get tough. We drop friends who disappoint us. We leave spouses when they are too demanding. We stop going to church when we disagree. Our baptism calls us to continue in relationship as God's love continues to embrace us. We promise to persevere in resisting evil. And in one of the prayer book's most insightful teachings, we promise to repent and return, not if, but whenever we fall into sin. We promise to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, following St. Francis, who is supposed to have said, "Use words if necessary." We promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And because loving others is not just individual feeling, but an effort to change society's structures, we promise to strive for justice and peace and to respect the dignity of every person. These promises are lived out by the faithful, by you and me, in families that are under stress, jobs that are insecure, economies that are shaky. In other words, in the real world as it is, a real world where the human destructive tendency is overcome by God's new life. On this Trinity Sunday, it is fitting that we give thanks for all those relationships that have nourished us and in which we continue to thrive, to ask forgiveness for our part in broken relationships, and to celebrate the love of the one who never lets us go and whom we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.